Madam Speaker, before I even allude, Madam Speaker, to the notes that I made for this presentation, I wish, Madam Speaker, not only to piggyback, but to explore and exploit some of the points made by the leader of the opposition. Madam Speaker, you know, if I'm to go to Taiwan, no leader of the opposition can stop me, especially when my ticket has already been bought. So you will understand, Madam Speaker, that on the other side, there are men who are literally bullied around. But I want to say this, Madam Speaker. I want to say this. For the leader of the opposition to be bold and insultive enough to call a man a dog in this honorable house, Madam Speaker, is disgusting, to say the least. He referred to the member for Castries Southeast as Alan Shapley's poodle. Yes, Madam Speaker, he referred to the tipster there. The tipster there, you all suffer from amnesia just like him. The tipster there, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it is disgusting for a man who has held the reins of Prime Minister of this country to refer to a member in this honorable house as a dog. You know, Madam Speaker, and then we talk about where we go from here. Then we talk about the destruction of our moral fabric. An ex-Prime Minister referring to a member as a poodle. But tanto, Madam Speaker, the people of St. Lucia are the ones who cast judgment, not me in my personal capacity, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, I heard the ex-Prime Minister, member for Viewfort South, you know, he spoke about insensitivity. You know, insensitivity, what a word. He also, Madam Speaker, indicated that there was a difference between a bolt arrangement and what currently obtains on the Babuno Road. Madam Speaker, let me just say that the bolt arrangement, in my humble view, is even worse. It is worse because, Madam Speaker, title to the property has to be passed to NIPRO. Okay, title has to pass to NIPRO, Madam Speaker. NIPRO takes our police station. For all intents and purposes, it no longer is the property of the government of St. Lucia. And we pay them every month, Madam Speaker, for a period of time. And guess what? Guess what? The price we eventually pay them, interest may be calculated in the original sum at about 20-something%. And after a certain period of time, the ownership is transferred back to the government. In the instance of the road, Madam Speaker, we never part with ownership. We never part with ownership, Madam Speaker. For all intents and purposes, the roads belong to the government of St. Lucia at all times. You know? So ask him to come again, because he can fool the people sometimes. He can't fool the people all the time, Madam Speaker. You know, I listened to the minister, to the ex-Prime Minister, you know, and member of you for South. And, Madam Speaker, for a moment, I thought I was listening to lessons in finance. Lessons, Madam Speaker, that he ought to have applied when he was Minister of Finance. But the records are clear, Madam Speaker, that his performance was dismal. And I will show. His performance was so dismal, he spoke of uncontrollable recurrent expenditure. Madam Speaker, the only time in the history of this house we have had recurrent expenditure exceeding recurrent revenue was under the reign of the leader, the member of Viewfort North, Viewfort South. That was the only time, Madam Speaker, he was spending more money than he was making. I will show. You know, so Madam Speaker, when you hear about uncontrollable, you know, recurrent expenditure, you wonder what is going on. whether there is a transformation of an individual who has a record of financial recklessness. You know, Madam Speaker, I rise, Madam Speaker, not only in support of this debate. One, for all intents and purposes, that should guide us on a path of recovery. But I rise, Madam Speaker, to humbly assist in attempting to answer a number of questions which I have been asked across the media. Political hacks, Madam Speaker, in the quest of being mischievous, frequently pose the question, what is the government doing with the monies they collect? It is this kind of hunky-punky dealings, Madam Speaker, with the finances of this country that have us in this financial quagmire. Spending money as though money was being manufactured in one of the warehouses owned by NDC. Yes, Madam Speaker, the squanderers, the culprits of mismanagement, persons who spend more than they own, are audacious enough to print stickers today, let's stop the slide, restore our pride. We, Madam Speaker, the government of today is the government that has stopped the slide. A slide, Madam Speaker, that skyrocketed our national debt, that increased our annual payments of debt servicing by well over 300% in 10 years, Madam Speaker. Over 300%. Madam Speaker, this slide will show. Can we get this a little? Can you zoom it out, please? Madam Speaker, this slide will show that when the Labour Party assumed office, we were paying a total of $24 million in debt. When they left us, the first $173 million had to go to debt, Madam Speaker. Let's see if we can get it there, Madam Speaker. This is it, 96, 97. Yeah, that was the last one. $24,381,997. Can you give me 0607, the last one, please? 0607, yeah, that's it right there. 0607. Right, it's right there. Madam Speaker, look at it. 0607, $173,879,000 from $24 million. You know, and the Minister of Finance speaks about skyrocketing recurrent expenditure. The member for South. You know, Madam Speaker, si nous take up Lenou qui take our office, les peuples de Christian, pays a take up 24 millions de dollars tous les années pour dire nous, les bons à 100 ou 100, 72 millions, an increase by almost 150 million every year. Every year, it's not a one-off payment. Every year, and you know what, Madam Speaker? It continues to rise because the loans are maturing on our backs. The loans they took are maturing on our backs. You know? And you talk about financial management. You are an instructor in finances. Kiko tells the instructor of finances. Eh? Who buy a non-business suit? Kape! $24 million to Lelane. Leila Jeiva, who say 173? Ednumsa still the palace? 150 million increase in 10 years. Every year. We have to pay this, Madam Speaker. It's currently over 180. So, Madam Speaker, it was the great Robert Nesta Marley who said, you can fool the people sometimes, but you can't fool the people all the time. So when they ask what we do with the money, today provides, Madam Speaker, an ideal opportunity to explain and to show how this government has stopped the slide. Madam Speaker, it really, really amazes me when the persons involved appear to be suffering from amnesia or a lapse of memory that surfaces at times of utmost convenience. Madam Speaker, when I first partook in budgetary proceedings in this Honorable House in 2006, I quickly realized that persons in charge of our finances were on a trend. A trend, Madam Speaker, whereupon the country was spending more money than it was making. Madam Speaker, at the time, I was able to break down the figures and to show that just for the country to pay its recurrent expenditure, we had to borrow just for recurrent expenditure. And to assist those who do not know what recurrent expenditure is, it will be expenses that the country has to meet on a monthly basis, such as paying salaries, wages, electricity bills, loan payments, etc., etc. It does not include money for capital projects. Yes, Madam Speaker, I was able to show then how the country needed to borrow about $6,000 every day just to pay those recurrent expenses. And guess what? The government of the St. Lucia Labour Party, Madam Speaker, led 10 budgets in this House, and only the first four, just the first four, you remember, Mr. Member for Castries East, there was a slight excess, Madam Speaker, of revenue, which was decreased gradually. By the time they were in the fifth year, Madam Speaker, still in the first term, they began spending more than they were making. And yes, Madam Speaker, that is the slide. That's the slide that started. So when they talk about stopping the slide, now let me show it to you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I'm paying for gadgets that I'm not too accustomed to, you know. Not my fault. Yes, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, okay, we have here 2001-2002. So let's say 2002-2003. Our recurrent revenue was 473. Our recurrent expenditure, 492. Recurrent, Madam Speaker, $21 million in excess. The following year, recurrent revenue, 477. Expenditure, 512. About $35 million in the red for that year. Then, 0405, Madam Speaker, recurrent revenue, 500 million. Recurrent expenditure, 546 million, Madam Speaker. Nous avons dépassé, passé, nous avons fait. C'est ça, y est. 2007, Madam Speaker, 2008. Look at this. 2006-2007, the last budget. 621 revenue, 700 million expenditure, almost $80 million more. And then, check where the slide stopped. Our first budget, Madam Speaker, we were able to bring it back. We were able, Madam Speaker, to have an excess of $24 million. $24 million in our first year, Madam Speaker. And therefrom, our recurrent expenditure has not exceeded our revenue. We learn, we know how to spend money. The lesson in this, Madam Speaker, is you never spend more than you can make. You cannot budget for monies that you don't make. So just to take care, Madam Speaker, of our recurrent expenses, we have to borrow. And that does not include capital projects, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, so it is clear. It is clear who stopped the slide. We stopped the slide, Madam Speaker. The government of today stopped the slide. Because the last administration was spending money like money was growing on trees. And they were spending more money than they were making. I see the member for Castries East jogging his memory. But he was there. He was there. You know, Madam Speaker, let me just say this. I will be inundated with skepticism to come to this Honorable House to debate a budget where the recurrent expenditure is more than the recurrent revenue. In fact, I've told the Prime Minister so personally. Why do you come to the people of this country and you are outlining what you are going to do with monies that you are saying you will not collect. So not only are you borrowing for capital expenditure, you are also borrowing to pay the light bills and to pay the officers and to pay the nurses and to pay policemen, etc., etc. You know, and talk about stopping the slide. So, Madam Speaker,
and point of order.
No, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let me just say this. I really discussed all the estimates of the relevant years. The estimates of recurrent revenue and expenditure for each year. I can make it a document of the House, Madam Speaker. Right. Madam Speaker, let me just say this. Madam Speaker, the picture is painted of a dismal financial performance of the last administration compared to the performance of this government. And I really don't care how many doctors are in the Labour Party. I don't care if the Labour Party turns into a hospital with a lot of doctors. But when it comes to finances, Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition does not have a clue. Madam Speaker, when I hear the hacks calling and asking what we do with the money, I guess they could see what we do with the money, Madam Speaker. We pay the national debt, Madam Speaker, which the government increased. Can I have national debt, please? The government increased, and I'll show it to them now, Madam Speaker. We will see what the national debt was. The slide before, please. So when they want to know what we've done with the money, give me national debt, 96-97. That's the same slide, just zoom in, please. Where's 96? That's called performance. Yes, look, social public debt. Right, Madam Speaker, it's right here, 96-97. $511 million. Le Sepplicien, Le Labour Party Vini, Seriatek Adway, $511 million. Give it to me for 0708, our first budget, please. 0708 Milena, $1,854,000,000. My mouth is not that good, and I will invoke the assistance from the member, because she is to calculate that percentage increase for me. You took it at $511 million. You left it at $1,854,000,000. You don't double it up. You more than triple it. And today the member from Beaufort South wants to teach people a lesson in finances. The records are there. I didn't make them, Madam Speaker. I didn't make them. A billion over $1.3 billion increase in 10 years. What is it today, Madam Speaker? It's not less. There has been a slight increase, Madam Speaker, but we have controlled it. Can you go? It's about $1.95 billion now, Madam Speaker. So when we hear about borrowing, let the solutions know what happens with borrowing. If I am borrowing money, but at the same time I am paying the loan. For example, I borrow $300 million, but I pay a loan $250 million, the net increase is negligible. It is negligible. So most of the monies we are borrowing is to pay for the sins of the last administration, the financial sins of the last administration. And we talk about net increase. That's what we have to talk about. Taking national debt at $511 million, bring to $1.854 billion. Madam Speaker, that was an increase that is totally unprecedented for any such period. You know, Les Sepplicien, écoutez bien, ces records-là, la séparation de Cédric Gadi, il a, yo point 600 millions de dollars, les olages, pièce d'oc Pablo Les Sepplicien. Exam your command, they start looking at the class and collect. You know, Madam Speaker, you know what $150 million every year can do for this country? Huh? And you increase our commitment by $150 million over 10 years? Mama, and what do we have to show for it? With no new income generating measures? Yes, yes. Madam Speaker, so by a norm of habitation, ethic application, self-sauce afford, zero four-wheel drive, watch this, sir. Who passes by another issue? If you go say, you're pressing me, you're pressing, please. May he has to have a motor car by your form, he has to have a car, okay? And he has to back us, and then, même si pressing, là. You must find yourself in problems. You must, because the Labour Party, whilst increasing the debt so significantly and increasing the commitment in terms of amounts to be paid annually, never implemented new revenue streams. So we are stuck with the same revenue, but the commitment to payment is much, much more. You know, Madam Speaker, some of them, Madam Speaker, they forget quickly, and they suffer, like I said, from a lapse of memory. How can we in this country entrust men with our finances when we quite often hear them saying that they forgot or they made a mistake? You know, you might sell the country, and when we ask you, why did you sell the country, you will say you forget. So we cannot give it to you again, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, it was in this honorable house that the sanity of the leader of the opposition member for Beaufort South, or his sense of recall, was brought into question. It was right here, Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition tried desperately to have the then Honorable Sarah Flood Bobre, my predecessor in representative, Madam Speaker, he tried desperately to have her ejected from this house. Guess why? Because the member had indicated that the leader had asked criminals to give the people in Beaufort a break for Christmas. He flatly and vehemently, Madam Speaker, denied it in this house. He blamed the press and the almost silent opposition for what he called fabricating this deal, Madam Speaker. 1 week later, after the elections, HTS played the tape. When everybody in St. Lucia had seen the tape, he was the only one who had not seen it. And this is exactly what he said when they attempted to interview him after playing the tape on numerous occasions. I've not seen the tape. And you want to control our finances? Huh? Madam Speaker, if amnesia is a disease, how on earth can a man who suffers therefrom be put in charge of our coffers? He might send it and say he forgot. Madam Speaker, I remember in my short stint in opposition, and even now, when I come across a piece of legislation that is in our national interest, not only do I applaud its implementation, but I also commend the Labour government for passing the legislation in the first place. And one such piece initiated, Madam Speaker, and passed by the Labour government was under the leadership of the current leader of the opposition when fingerprinting was made mandatory before an ID card could have been issued to a voter. Not only, Madam Speaker, is this of national interest, but such means of ID is used worldwide. It is one of the most positive means of identification. In fact, Madam Speaker, it's used in Jamaica, where persons get the ballot after they are positively identified by fingerprints. And for you, as leader of the opposition, to call the country into civil chaos by advocating disobedience to legislation passed by you cannot, in my mind, amount to forgetfulness. That, in my view, is total madness. And then came, Madam Speaker, the usual press release. These days, Madam Speaker, I wonder if they have an iron dropping press releases. Everything is a press release. They press it, they release it. Madam Speaker, in that press release, the member said he had misspoken. He forgot. He made a mistake. A mistake? I'll show you the mistake. Madam Speaker, Kenny's paw print on another faux pas. That's the mistake, Madam Speaker. I refer to the publication of the Star newspaper, dated October 20th, 2009. That is it, Madam Speaker. And you know what, Madam Speaker? The ultimate paragraph of that story reads, apparently, you have to be careful. You don't just have to be careful what you say, but you must also be careful what you forget. You know, that is what, you have to be careful what you forget. You might forget you fell out of the country, and you want to be in charge of the financing of this country again. Madam Speaker, you know, although I will come to, Madam Speaker, the squandering that took place in the report of the Commission of Inquiry, I just want to note, Madam Speaker, another article in that very newspaper, Ramsahoy reports proved Kenny not fit for office. Madam Speaker, it was written by no other than a man called Nicholas Joseph, a journalist. I will read a few excerpts for one to understand. It says here, this is a process that must be followed by any prime minister or minister of finance who respects government's professionals and who is clear in his own mind that a prime minister is only a policy leader of a broader team of professionals, not a monarch in a monarchy, or a master on his plantation, or a tin god, as Jason Tifley recently referred to Kenny Anthony. Now, he says in that very article, Madam Speaker, as a labor man myself, that's what he says, as a labor man myself, I cannot fathom this madness. I didn't say it. As a labor man myself, it's not coming from us as opposition, it's coming from him, their own people. As a labor man myself, yes I am, I cannot fathom this madness. And the last paragraph reads, Madam Speaker, in the constituency group needed a reason for a vote of no confidence in Kenny Anthony, the Ramsahoy report is it. It is the time the country gets rid of its political tin gods. Masa days are done. You know, Madam Speaker, this Tony Nicholas, Madam Speaker, you know, Madam Speaker, some time ago, under the leadership of the member for Beaufort South, he was then Prime Minister, I remember an accusation being leveled at NIC. They were accused of selling shares to a Barbados company or to some institution there, Madam Speaker. And the then Prime Minister said he has the evidence. When the dust was settled, everyone realized how wrong he was and that the NIC had sold no shares as alleged. What did he do, Madam Speaker? He came back and apologized. Madam Speaker, I'm just wondering, is this a calculated way of doing things? Are we to trust persons who do things that way with our finances? Are we to believe, Madam Speaker, the real cost of a project when it comes from the mouth of the leader of the opposition? You know, Madam Speaker, my colleague from Suzelle was written to by the leader of the opposition. He was written to and asked, Madam Speaker, whether he was minded to serve on a bipartisan committee. So when I hear about bipartisan committee coming from the mouth of the leader of the opposition, I have to be cautious. He was written to, the leader of the opposition wrote the member for Suzelle and asked, do you want to join a bipartisan committee? The member for Suzelle said bipartisan, he obliged. He said, yes, it is in the interest of the country, and the member accepted. You know what happened? The leader of the opposition had the letter on the market step. I could have had Rufus if I once looked the letter. But he never read the letter, Madam Speaker, because persons would have realized it was a response to a first letter. He never read it. And that is how conniving, Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition can be. Madam Speaker, I'm beginning to wonder whether Calypsonians like Bingo have inside information about the operations of government, when in fact there are two people running the country, Kenny and Tony. I'm just wondering, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, as my ministry, Madam Speaker, one thing we don't do, cost overruns. Madam Speaker, the cost overruns can be ascribed to one and only one administration, and that is that administration over there. And let me confess, Madam Speaker, you know, I had never ever heard of the term cost overruns in governance before, except when this administration was installed. Madam Speaker, you know the worst thing? They have a history of cost overruns. They have a history of cost overruns. I'll get into it later. But Madam Speaker, as soon as they were installed for a $30,000 road Sir John had built in Beaufort, they constructed for one sum, it cost taxpayers $300,000 for the inquiry. For a $30,000 road. Jordia, look, I investigate $140 million, the Pablo Nudegosiari. It cost taxpayers $300,000 for an inquiry into $30,000. This far, please. You know, and you all want to talk about not investigating overruns of 130 million. I believe overruns, Madam Speaker, because self-premier, he has to hear to cost overruns as a project of Kumasi. Oh, block the water, Ashia. Back over the guys coming, the cost overrun has to me. I'll get to that, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, much has been said about Marigo. Marigo, Madam Speaker, has had some delays. But, like I said, we don't believe in cost overruns. In fact, the development in Marigo is tied to a loan that was taken for the infrastructure. Drawdowns are made only when claims are made for a particular aspect of the development, and no payment is made until the claim is both verified and certified. But today, Madam Speaker, I am pleased to report the progress that we have made in Marigo. No, that's the one before that, Marigo. I'll come to that, yes. Madam Speaker, this is one of the houses that we had to relocate. We placed it in a lot, Madam Speaker, that's fully surveyed, and we added flush toilet facilities to it, Madam Speaker. Those pictures are on the road in Marigo. This is another model house going up, Madam Speaker. Another house that was relocated. I don't know, the clowns are over there, you know, not here. This is another model house, Madam Speaker. The clowns are over there. This is a picture of the infrastructure. I hear the member from Supra talking about, oh, taxpayers' money wasted. This is what it is, Madam Speaker. This is what it is. Those are the rules. Well done. Well done, proper drainage and everything else, Madam Speaker. You know, Madam Speaker, let me just say very quickly that the cost of the project was $5.2 million. Only 2.6 has been paid to the contractor. Only 2.6, Madam Speaker. There is no question about delay. Yes, there is a delay, but no cost overruns. Unlike the delays stipulated in this document, I'll come to it, prolongation, delay, and retardation. I'll come to it in a bit. So, Madam Speaker, this is what Marigo looks like today. Earthworks 98% completed, drainage 92%, water reticulation 80%. In fact, Madam Speaker, the pipes have been pressure tested under WATCO supervision, and the NHC is in the process of awarding a contract for the supply and installation of 100,000 gallon water tank for the development. No select has been paid to provide electricity, and it is hoped, Madam Speaker, in fact, as we speak, work is ongoing. Madam Speaker, so this is what Marigo is. Generally, Madam Speaker, our performance has been affected by a combination of factors. It included, Madam Speaker, among others, project financing, which ranks very high on the list, Madam Speaker. We were able, Madam Speaker, amidst the difficulty, to complete 10 houses in Crestland, Sufre. Yes, Madam Speaker, this is what they look like. Yes. We built 10 of them, Madam Speaker, very nice houses for the people of Quila, who are living, Madam Speaker, in deplorable conditions, Madam Speaker. This is what the government of the United Workers Party has provided for them, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this year, an allocation of $3 million has been allocated for the construction of some more units in Crestland. Those units, Madam Speaker, are intended, like I said, for the people of Quila, some of whom, Madam Speaker, the conditions under which they live beg for intervention. Infrastructure works at Fomage and Mondo are substantially completed, whilst we contemplate electrification of the Mondo development by the 31st of next month. We have also completed two units at Gara, Babuno, and those two units, Madam Speaker, we have also handed those units to the beneficiaries thereof. This is one, Madam Speaker, and this is the other. In fact, I see a Suzuki factor under that one, Madam Speaker, indicating that it has been occupied. Madam Speaker, in my first budget address, I indicated in this Honorable House that there were town and village councils that were like barking dogs without teeth. With the permission of the then Minister of Finance, the late Sir John George Melvin Compton, the true father of this nation, I announced a $100,000 allocation for council. I am pleased to report, Madam Speaker, that this saw the light of day, and many small projects can be handled at the local level without the intricate involvement of central government. The allocation in this upcoming year, Madam Speaker, I underestimate. Madam Speaker, since being a councillor is voluntary, I wish to take this opportunity to thank all councillors island-wide who volunteer their service, Madam Speaker, and continue to do so, thereby contributing to the development of St. Lucia. For the year under review, Madam Speaker, a total of 52 small projects were completed island-wide at a cost of approximately $800,000. These projects range from drainage, repairs to public facilities, pedestrian accesses, footpaths, etc. Not only were the benefits employment, Madam Speaker, and income generation, but living standards will improve. I really and truly do not envy the arduous task, Madam Speaker, of the Prime Minister, Minister of Finance, for when demands are flying helter-skelter, the Minister sometimes has to sit back and prioritize. While each department would want all their requests funded, this is virtually impossible with limited resources. And so, Madam Speaker, we have to make do with what we have. For this year, Madam Speaker, we are hoping to execute programs for which allocations have been made. Approximately $2.1 million have been allocated for the completion of sites and services and the commencement of 22 core units to be constructed at Moshi. $3 million have been allocated for the construction of some more units at Crestland, as I said earlier, and we will attempt to build some duplexes and multi-family structures. We are hoping that during the currency of this financial year, we would have been able to resettle some of the beneficiaries at Crestland. $1 million, Madam Speaker, was made available to assist in the development of infrastructure at Fomage, for the creation of about 16 service lots and the construction of 11 houses. Madam Speaker, a project which the government has lent moral support to, but in this crucial financial environment can go no further is the pedestrianization of the William Peter Boulevard. Madam Speaker, on World Heritage Day about 2 weeks ago, an activity was held in the boulevard, at which point it was totally pedestrianized. It was a beautiful sight, and to have seen the boulevard devoid of cars and persons walking without hindrances was extremely beautiful in my view. It is for this reason, Madam Speaker, we remain steadfast in this venture. The project is the brainchild of the Castries City Council, and they would need to step up, Madam Speaker, their revenue collection. I want to take this opportunity to remind persons within the Castries Basin that they can assist us by paying the property taxes to the Castries City Council, as the legislation is already in place. We need to develop our city. Two other projects that allocations have been made for, Madam Speaker, are the Lions Park and the SAD. $1 million is earmarked for the Lions Park, and that project would be enhanced and upgraded. It will be transformed into a functional and aesthetically pleasant urban recreational and environmental facility with a central fountain. The SAD, Madam Speaker, will receive drainage and other concrete works to improve the conditions of living of its residents. Additionally, Madam Speaker, works are ongoing by C.O. Williams, who have agreed to complete all infrastructural works on a development in Viewport called the St. Jude's Gardens Project. We are hoping to yield in excess of 300 lots. I want to reiterate my special thanks to them for coming on board at a time when finances are tight. I have been given assurances that long before next budget, all infrastructure will be completed and the houses will be made available to the public at concessionary prices. The National Housing Corporation, Madam Speaker, only puts the bill after the fully serviced site is handed back to them, so there can be no cost overrun since the agreement is for a specific sum. Madam Speaker, we intend in the not too distant future to undertake a development in Ballambush under similar arrangements. I am pleased that the number of projects completed by the Ministry of Physical Development, either for themselves or on behalf of other government agencies, the diverse departments each have a meaningful role to play. Madam Speaker, the Peter Management Area is not without its tremendous difficulties. We are currently grappling with a host of competing interests. On the one hand, we need to abide by the guidelines of UNESCO, which have been completed and ratified. On the other hand, we have to address the problems of economic strangulation of landholders who have been told, yes, you own the land, yes, it is extremely valuable, but no, you cannot do anything with it. My view is, Madam Speaker, the interests of those persons ought to have been given its full cognizance prior to the acceptance of the World Heritage status. That having been said, Madam Speaker, we have completed the renovation and improvement of the inscription site and have facilitated and continue to facilitate PhD students with their research. We have embarked, Madam Speaker, on the upgrading of the GIS, Geographical Information System. The work has started, and this year a sum of $813,000 has been allocated for its continuation. In addition, we will embark upon the computerization of the land registry and the automation of databases of land. This, Madam Speaker, will simplify the conduct of searches at the land registry, and I am certain that this will be welcomed by all our lawyers. Madam Speaker, the Sustainable Land Department project is an ongoing project, the objective of which is to strengthen the capacity for sustainable land at all levels and to maintain mainstream of those concepts into national development. This program is designed to combat land degradation, which includes but is not limited to deforestation, water and wind erosion, water logging, and sediment deposits on productive land, to name a few. The impact both threatens food security and depletes our water supply. The successful implementation of this project will contribute towards poverty alleviation by providing food security and improved quality and supply of water and better employment opportunities. The project will also provide an enabling environment for the growth of major sectors such as agriculture and tourism. St. Lucia will also be better equipped with the necessary skills for overcoming natural disasters. This year, almost $1 million have been allocated for the continuation of that project. Projects that are currently under design at the architectural section, they get it somewhere. Projects that are currently under design, Madam Speaker, at the architectural section of the ministry include but are not limited to the Fijian Island Beach Facility, the VG Sports Administrative Building, the Groselier Daycare Center, the Ancillary Human Resource Development Center, Corinth Urban Park, Sunday's Human Resource Development Center, and the Carolee Park. Funds have been allocated in the sum of $1.96 million for the rationalization at Active Hill. Many residents were under threat, and the government had no choice but to step in, Madam Speaker, and acquire those lands. The relevant infrastructural needs will be put in place, the land will be surveyed, and will be eventually sold to the occupants on a cost basis. The projects that saw completion in my ministry are either by the ministry for themselves or on behalf of other government agencies: the Castries Fire Service at the cost of $1.35 million, the Tetshime Human Resource Development Center at $485,000, the police were grappling with problems of holding cells, and so the old human prison was refurbished at a cost of about $500,000. The Grand Rivière Denry Human Resource Development Center is about 95% complete and was built at a cost of about $2 million. The Bellevue Human Resource Development Center is also about 95% complete and was built at a cost of approximately $1.3 million. The Moshi Human Resource Development Center is completed and was opened and was built at a cost of $860,000. The Lafarge Playing Ground in Suzelle is about 95% complete and was built at a cost of $254,000. The Nemo Emergency Operations Center, located at Bidet, was completed at a cost of $3.1 million. The Senior Citizens Home in Viewfort is about 75% complete. The total cost is earmarked at $6.5 million. Last year, Madam Speaker, we also saw the completion of what was supposed to have been called the Library Human Resource Development Center. Madam Speaker, upon making inquiries, it was brought to my attention that this center in Labrie was the brainchild of Mr. Vellon John, who was then district rep. When this was brought to my attention, Madam Speaker, I felt it was necessary to cross political boundaries and to give due recognition to the one who deserved it. The old saying of Haïon Chien, Midi Gain Blanc, immediately sprung to my mind. And so, Madam Speaker, I decided, having collaborated with the current district rep of Labrie, decided that the building's name should carry some sort of recognition to its brainchild. And so today, Madam Speaker, I am pleased to inform you that the building is named the Vellon John Administrative Complex. Madam Speaker, those projects were some handled by my ministry last year at a total cost of $98.6 million. Madam Speaker, on a private level, if the professional fees of 15% is applied, government ought to have spent $14.8 million in fees. Guess what, Madam Speaker? Government only spent $1.01 million in salaries, resulting in savings of $13.79 million. Madam Speaker, undoubtedly, they are lazy, they are apathetic people in the service. But likewise, there are some people who work very, very hard. And I want to take this opportunity, Madam Speaker, to congratulate my members of staff who have brought significant savings to the government of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, on that note...
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes. I'm using my clock.
Oh, okay. I very well, Madam
Speaker. Speaker, I would like to invoke standing order 47 to ask that the Minister for central factories be given an extra 45 minutes.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member for Kachri Central an additional 45 minutes to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as are of that opinion say aye. As many as are of the contrary opinion say no. I think the ayes have it, the ayes have it.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you, colleagues. Madam Speaker, I was earlier indicating that the members of staff of my ministry have brought significant savings to the government of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, let me just say this. We give an incentive for persons to return to live in St. Lucia. It is even enacted in law. I have no difficulty, Madam Speaker, none whatsoever, in granting concessions to returning nationals. The question is, Madam Speaker, will it not be prudent, will it not be a special way of thanking persons who have spent 20, 25, 30 years in the public service, who have paid taxes here for that period, and who have assisted in development of this country by at least giving them materials for a house or vehicle at a concessionary price after that period of service? Madam Speaker, obviously criteria may have to be put in place, but in my view, when persons have toiled for the benefit of the state needs to say thanks in a very special way. Madam Speaker, and while I'm still on architecture, I need to say something about the Architects Registration Act. Madam Speaker, an economic partnership agreement was signed by the 14 Cariforum states and the 27 European member states in October 2008. This agreement governs the trade relations between Cariforum and the EU. Article 84 of that agreement indicates that parties shall encourage the relevant professional bodies in their respective territories to start negotiations for jointly developing and providing recommendations on mutual recognition in the disciplines of accounting, architecture, engineering, and tourism. In essence, Madam Speaker, under this agreement, of which St. Lucia is already a signatory, in order that local professionals in the mentioned disciplines be fairly treated and participate in EU and CSME negotiations and joint ventures, etc., proper legislative and regulatory frameworks must be instituted. The absence of such frameworks to accommodate our local and qualified professionals has denied the opportunity for growth from joint ventures and the benefits that can be derived from the myriad of opportunities that exist in a developing nation. In the USA, which is a liberalized environment, Madam Speaker, it is mandatory that state-registered architects must be engaged on every project in that particular state. Madam Speaker, the Architects Registration Act, already passed but not yet put into force, awaiting the convening of a registration board, will normalize this situation. The government of St. Lucia has recognized the major loss of revenue that comes with the direct engagement of foreign-based architects with no local participation, and therefore, in an effort to set the records right, developers will have to complete with the legal framework within St. Lucia. In the event of malpractice, Madam Speaker, the local end-users and visiting end-users can have recourse locally. Madam Speaker, the St. Lucia Architect Institute of Architects, since passing the Act, have reviewed clause 14 of the legislation and the provision of architectural services for single-family and minor business premises to 2,000 and 1,500 square feet, respectively, to allow non-registered architects to legally provide services to those categories of buildings. An investigation into submitted residential applications over the past 3 years revealed, Madam Speaker, that in all the instances, over 60% of the residential applications are drawn by less than 2,000 square feet. Having revisited the Act and deliberated with the concerned parties, and also having a more profound appreciation of the issues, I am of the view that the Act makes provisions for all, including students who can now confidently seek financial assistance to pursue architecture at the highest level, similar to what obtains for other professions. Consequently, The point of departure in bringing this matter to a close is the implementation of the registration bond as prescribed by the Act, already passed into law, but not yet enforceable without the establishment of the bond. I envisage, Madam Speaker, that upon a few minor amendments being effected, I will cause the bond to be established and to publish a commencement date for this Act, hopefully before the end of this calendar year. Madam Speaker, touching on the issue of energy and the environment, the government remains steadfast in securing alternative sources of energy and those that are more environmentally friendly. In that regard, the energy policy has been finalized and has been forwarded to the Cabinet of Ministers for adoption. We are promoting quite extensively renewable energy, including both wind and geothermal. With regard to the wind farm initiative, the acquisition process is ongoing. Last year, Madam Speaker, I was relentless in my efforts at elucidating solutions about the mess in which we were put by the current leader of the opposition, who signed an agreement with UNEP for geothermal exploration. Madam Speaker, the agreement was that exclusive rights were granted to the developer. It placed on the government the obligation to acquire land, compensate the owners, and then hand over those lands, Madam Speaker, to the developer. Unless that was done, the developer could not have started his exploration. Worse yet, no agreement was signed with Lucelec to purchase the power from the developer. So that if they got power, Madam Speaker, although it came from Solution, we may not have benefited. Today, Madam Speaker, I am pleased to inform you and fellow Solutions that the agreement signed by the member for Viewport South was revisited. The government is no longer burdened with acquiring lands and paying for those lands. There is no exclusive right to drill. And Lucelec signed the power purchase agreement together with the signing of the agreement by the government and the developer. Drilling will start soon. Madam Speaker, I want to inform the leader of the opposition that this is how things are done. You see, Madam Speaker, speaking of the leader of the opposition, he either does things upside down, Madam Speaker, or when he talks without considering his involvement. He opened his mouth, Madam Speaker, in this honorable house and said, I was selling land to foreigners. But he failed to say, Madam Speaker, that he was the one signing the alien land holding license. I guess you know, Madam Speaker, he'll say that this was the past. But Madam Speaker, how can it be the past? How can you claim things that you have done are the past when you are still in politics? Madam Speaker, if you go for a job, you ask for a police record, you ask for references. Implicit in those requests, Madam Speaker, is for your potential employer asking you, what's up with your past? Have you stolen before? Madam Speaker, if you have a worker, he steals from you left, right, and center. You fire him, Madam Speaker. The question is, 2 years after, he comes to you and he says, can I have my job? Was he a thief of the past? Can't be the past. Bob Marley said, a nation or people without knowledge of the past is like a tree without roots, because the past guides the future. So how can Rochamel be the past, Madam Speaker? How can it be the past when the leader of the opposition said recently in this honorable house that the report exonerated him? I'm sure he remembers that. What? Exonerated him? And for those who don't understand exoneration, leader opposition Navinia Kaisia, Eki Dikosa, Report Sala, Di Papa Eki Pabo. Madam Speaker, I want to read a few excerpts from this document. Madam Speaker, it says here, the government guarantee, now, you know, the government guarantee, which was signed on December 17, 1997, I'll show you where they signed it, Madam Speaker, I'll show you where they were juking solution in the back. They were stabbing, yes, it's there. I don't know if the leader of the opposition remember this momentous occasion. I don't know if he remembers this occasion. I don't know if he remembers. But this was the 17th of December, 1997. And the report says that the government signed a guarantee for 8.75 million US in respect of cost overrun. So, let's simply say, Dimwe, sir. Ouvre Dimwe. On est au premier ministre. Qui a contrôlé l'argent simplifié. Il dit, décide qu'il a fait un projet. Ok, pas de problème. Mais premier ministre là, qui a garanti cost overrun avant de refouiller tout. Avant bloc posé, il a garanti cost overrun. No wonder Gavin Fronsen then went to Mexico and said they got a monkey government. They got a monkey government because for a prime minister to be so reckless with taxpayers money, it's disgraceful, Madam Speaker. It is disgraceful. Madam Speaker, you know, I'm talking about the past. The past, the past, the past. You know, those things cannot be the past, Madam Speaker, when they directly affect the public first. It cannot be the past. In fact, this article here says, those who cannot remember the past must be constantly reminded. So I want to remind the leader of the opposition that on that unfaithful day, on December 17, 1997, you were stabbing St. Lucia financially in its back. And today you want to give us a lesson in finances and say it's the past. You know, it can't be the past. How can it be the past, Madam Speaker, when the resolution that came to Parliament never contained the words Frenwell or guarantee? Madam Speaker, the resolution came to Parliament. It never contained the words Frenwell or guarantee. Today, I'm hearing that you must take this to Parliament, you must take that to Parliament. I know how they would have taken it, you know, Madam Speaker. They would have taken it, disguised it, or come to this house in a deceitful way, Madam Speaker. Because this is what happened with Lucia Mail. You know, let me just read excerpts of, although they were not described as guarantees, they were instruments by which the government of St. Lucia became liable to answer to the debt of Frenwell Limited, which were created by the loan agreement signed by Dr. Kenny Anton. I didn't say it. Frenwell was not shown to have assets. Who bled Dimwe? Let's simply say. Oh, who can buy or nom l'argent Chebe? He can pay l'argent a guarantee cost overrun by a Mundibane. My God. You know, and today I'm hearing a lecture in finances. You guarantee a loan for Frenwell. In the first place, never mention guarantee, never mention Frenwell. And Frenwell can hear you, and tell me that you are exonerated. Our inquiry into the formation of Frenwell shows that it was allegedly formed at the request of the government as a device to deal with the payment of $12.75 million under the agreement. You know, Madam Speaker, I am not... And he talks about he was exonerated. As though people don't know the meaning of the word exonerated. Exonerated, I think it's eggs in a basket, not exonerated. It says on page 22, the net amount paid by the government of St. Lucia towards the debt of Frenwell was completely lost to the government and people of St. Lucia. Almost 15 million US. Completely lost, Madam Speaker. It goes on to say, we did not discern any attempt to protect the government and people from this loss. The Prime Minister and Minister of Finance had responsibility for this transaction whereby the money was lost. Sekaki exonerated. The Prime Minister had responsibility for this transaction when the money was lost. But I'm hanging in this honorable house. I was exonerated. Well, because if you say back on that meaning of exonerated, so you guys, they will be fooled. They will be fooled. The project as it was conceived, failed without the government and people being protected from the total loss. You know, and then we're hearing you were exonerated, Madam Speaker. Is that what exoneration is all about? You know, and you want to call it the past. You want to call it a mistake. You want a chance to do it again. Madam Speaker, I have advice for the leader of the opposition. The same way the government and people of St. Lucia, through him, guaranteed Stanwell death, he has to give the people of St. Lucia a guarantee of $2 billion. Put it in a bank account before we consider re-electing you, because they will squander you have paid you. That is the only way, Madam Speaker. You have to give the people of St. Lucia a guarantee that if you squander the money, we will get it from a deposit that you have as a guarantee. You know, and after doing so much, Madam Speaker, St. Lucians voted the Labour Party out. But what does the leader of the opposition do? He goes to St. Vincent and says St. Lucians made a mistake. He says it was. He goes to St. Vincent, Madam Speaker, and used his mouth, and he attacks me in St. Vincent and attacks my colleagues. But he didn't know. I'll get a copy of the tape, which I have. He didn't know. I'm not involved in Vincentian politics, Madam Speaker. I am not involved. My colleague, member from Sozelle, is not involved. But yet, not only do you say we make a mistake, you attack us and then talk about reversing the reputation of St. Lucia. You call a cabinet colleague, a parliamentarian colleague, a dog in the house. A dog! And you talk about we hurting St. Lucia, and you were prime minister. My God. You know, but I'll tell you this, on the very platform in St. Vincent, that you said recently that St. Lucia made a mistake. Vincentians will not make a mistake because they'll vote his colleague out, Madam Speaker. They'll vote him out. Madam Speaker, we are in financial doldrums thanks to the Labour Party administration, Madam Speaker. You know, you talk about hurting St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, when Honorable Osbert Dovey was a member of the Senate and a member of the government, the leader of the opposition was inciting investors not to invest in St. Lucia. And then you talk about hurting the reputation of St. Lucia overseas. You know, Madam Speaker, I heard a member of Soufre talk about wastage. Now, the member of Soufre was an ex-head teacher. But manini de isa niko panagre, ni palagre. Because we parle about wastage. Ex-dice gouvernement isa naimutwe sa wastage, Madam Speaker. Because manini de member of Soufre salas. Madam Speaker, reading from the very report, first and foremost, Madam Speaker, Director Audit Report, contracts that were awarded at a total of $74 million, total of $74 million, came back at $204 million, cost overrun of almost $130 million. The Madam Leader of Opposition, Madam Speaker. You know, and talk about wastage. 200% was overrun. And talk about wastage, you know, in relation to this government. Madam Speaker, in that same report, let me tell you what wastage is. I'll tell you what wastage is. On page 43, the investigations into NCA revealed the following, that a payment was made to H&M Holdings from the consolidated fund for the purchase of cellular telephones for workers in that year's election campaign. It goes on to ask, why are government monies should be used for electioneering purposes is not clear. Cell phones, you know, Les bons partis à les simplifier. Point l'argent qu'a fait pour acheter un cell phone pour mon campagne d'ailleurs. Pas moi qui dis, Milan. You know, I'm talking about wastage. You know, that's the member knows what wastage is. Madam Speaker, on page 52 of that report, head is well. Head is well. The same road is started at 43, ended at 133 million. 110 million in cost overrun on the road alone. Head is well, Madam Speaker. Cost overrun was claimed as follows. Tantadien. Compensation event. 16,532,913 dollars. Compensation event. Ratataye. Prolongation cost 18,619,804 dollars. Channel water call. Delay and disruption. So you have to make prolongation. No matter now, what's the difference between prolongation and delay? Anyway, delay is a prolongation of prolongation. Mama, then what's the difference? Because you have prolongation costs. And so this is taxpayers' money of 18,600,000 and you have delay cost of 11 million and you have compensation cost of 16 million. Exodia, you know, we're in the deep recession. Me recession and Kentucky caused me. That is what caused the position we are in today. This is a compensation event. 16 million. Let's add that. While we had asked one addition, right? Compensation event 16 and 18. That's 34. 34 and 11. $45 million. For the same thing. Labeled differently. Prolongation, retardation, delay. You ever heard that? Oh, je ne sais pas. That has to resonate on the minds of solutions. Because you cannot be forgiven in the name of it being the past. The past? The past? Have you ever alone a police? Can't be the past. We will die, we won't finish, we won't finish with our debt. You know? So, Madam Speaker, the worst thing is, Madam Speaker, head it well. Miscellaneous expenses. Miscellaneous expenses, say buy for toilet paper. Miscellaneous expenses are generally considered incidental expenses and are immaterial. A sum of $1.7 million as miscellaneous expenses can neither be considered incidental nor immaterial. The classification of such large sums as miscellaneous expenses usually indicates an attempt to disguise the true nature of the expenses incurred. You understand? 1.7 million. Tell by Madam Speaker, si c'est toilet paper, you achete. Is some tout moun la chen direct, too late. Monsieur, $1.7 million miscellaneous. You know, but the commissioner said that it is usually an attempt to disguise the nature of the expenses. And then, Madam Speaker, but you know, talking about these guys, the leader of the opposition has the knack for this guy's in thing. Because this Rochamel thing, Madam Speaker, when it came here, it never came here as a guarantee. The name Friendwell was never mentioned, yet it was passed. You know, and I refer to a contribution by my good friend, my predecessor, entitled Sarah Flood. You know, something she said in this house, Madam Speaker, and I refer to Hansard of June 22nd. You know, of 2004, you know, talking about how things are disguised in this house, Madam Speaker, and then want to give a lesson in finances, Marquesa. This is what Sarah Flood said. Madam Speaker, Mr. Speaker, I do have a very serious concern about this resolution. What I see before me, Mr. Speaker, is a resolution for the Minister of Finance to raise the sum not exceeding $157.1 million, the proceeds which may be used to finance capital and other expenditure for debt restructuring. Mr. Speaker, I am not happy with the wording of this resolution at all, as it makes me feel very uncomfortable because I do not know what exactly the money is used for if it is approved. What then? So c'est pas pour mieux croire. Léon blé bagay fait yon radio by n'importe non. Et il a passé. Et gagne yon kapoute se poutine. Wow! Financial blow. She went on. She said, Madam Speaker. She said, Madam Speaker, the other paper, the first order paper they got, it said that the proceeds may be used for economic and social infrastructure and debt resurfacing. And suddenly they got a new resolution just a while ago, changing social infrastructure to other expenditure. Mr. Speaker, that's Sarah Flood saying this, this reminds me of Rochamel. We are presented with a resolution to borrow such money. I was hoping that the Honorable Prime Minister who has left the chamber, c'est ça qu'il a fait, de dire, foutez là, il est parti avec ce bouclage de parler et de n'y aura pas fait, wash. Okay? That the Prime Minister who has left the chamber, he would have said, Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Members can refresh my mind to see a resolution asking what the money may be used for. The language normally used. Mr. Speaker, it is for the purpose of X, Y, and Z. Clearly, so that the honorable members who may approve it know exactly what the Prime Minister is asking the money for. Mr. Speaker, I am not prepared to approve a resolution for the Honorable Prime Minister. Hear this? Sarah Flood is saying this. I am not prepared to approve a resolution for the Honorable Prime Minister given his record of financial recklessness. And she says, I will say it again. Given his record of financial recklessness for the Prime Minister to have this money to be used. God bless. That's back in 2004. Sarah Flood. Not me. I'm sad. Farmer did you know. So and I hear about wastage. You know. If the leader of the opposition can give one lesson, he's in wastage. He's in wastage. He can give a very good lesson in that. And trust me. All his graduates will graduate with honors. Once he's wasted, they'll graduate with honors. So, Madam Speaker, let me just, you know, touch on, Madam Speaker, my time is correct. I think I'm supposed to talk about 10 past 8, am I correct? Oh, 10 past 9, sir. 9:05, on your clock, okay. Very good. Madam Speaker, when I entered, Minister Guy Mayers is coming for you. You'll have a lot of talking to do, but all I like quick, because you'll be running. And he's there. Well, anybody can come for me. Well, who?
Okay, members. Order. Madam order, Speaker. Members, let's get back.
Madam Speaker, you know, he says, they don't want me there. The people, if they don't want me on the fight, it's one thing, Madam Speaker. The day I am fired by the people of Castries Central, I will have no regret. The day I am fired, because you know what? I would have given a true record of my accomplishment during my period of tenure. They can fire me. I will not be hired by any man who calls his parliamentarian colleague a dog. My God, sweet, yes, slave master. My God, sweet, yes, master. Madam Speaker, when I entered the political arena, I read comments of my victory in the Star of March 16, 2006. You know, on the front page, Madam Speaker, incidentally, SLP leaders missing in action. That's the front page of the Star of March 15, 2000. While persons saw me, Madam Speaker, in me, a willingness to work and deliver, others denounced me. Madam Speaker, let me just read quickly a couple contributions by some persons. Joseph Worrell, a contractor of Mabuya Valley, said, I like the way everything took place. I like the overall winner, but I don't think he will do a good job. Well, now you have the chance to assess me, my brother. The people will not give him the opportunity to deliver, and therefore he may not be able to live up to the high expectations. Suzette McKenzie said, Mr. Frederick deserves to win. Thank you very much, Suzette. And he is one that could move Central Castries forward. Suzette was all God there. Mr. Lacobinier seems too soft. No, well, he's no longer Lacobinier. He's Lacobin far. He's very far away. Mr. Le Corbusier seems to so, and he would not have been able to do a good job. His campaign did not emphasize enough on what he would do for the constituency. You know, and some, Madam Speaker, denounced me, but I'm going back, Madam Speaker, just to touch on those things. As Madam Speaker, I want to show some of my accomplishments in my short, very, very short tenure as a politician, as a district rep. Probably, if the leader of the opposition had done as much in 10 years, he would not have had a problem. But now you're emphasizing about the man, that this, the bad, but I'll touch on that with the Taiwanese front in a little bit, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, let me take 2 minutes to show some photos, Madam Speaker, of my achievements. The list, Madam Speaker, like I said, is not exhaustive. And in my allotted time, I would not be able to, that would be inadequate time, Madam Speaker, to enumerate all my well-known contributions. Anyhow, Madam Speaker, anyone who is daring enough to say that Castries has not undergone conspicuous change is either mad, blind, has not lived there, or is blatantly politically mischievous. Madam Speaker, they are cataracts. Madam Speaker, since my assumption of political office, I have built 2 courts, repaired one in New Village, one in Grass Street. In fact, hopefully, I shall be soon conducting repairs to the New Village Court, Madam Speaker. In Georgeville, Madam Speaker, the Labour Party built a piece of wall, and that was so hopeful, Madam Speaker. The Labour Party in Georgeville, there is a large river. They built a piece of wall directly behind the house of a supporter, notwithstanding that all the houses were on the embankment and were prone to landslides. They just built it directly behind the house of one person, Madam Speaker. I moved into Georgeville, Madam Speaker. Not only did I extend that entire wall and the other side, I also cast the entire drainage, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have built in Black Stars, we recently concreted a road, built some retaining walls. We have built footpaths all over in Roseville, in addition to the community center, which we refurbished some time ago. We continue to build retaining walls and repair drains. Lastic Hill, Madam Speaker, we build footpaths and drains. As I speak, Madam Speaker, work is currently being executed on the gardens. Madam Speaker, the gardens is currently under rehabilitation at a total cost of $700,000, and it is earmarked to bring the gardens into a conventional playing facility. For the first time, Madam Speaker, toilet and storage facilities and a concessionary area will be built. So, Madam Speaker, when I heard a non-entity indicating that I broke down the walls because I wanted to stop a football competition, I have to say, what ignorance, what mischief. The plaza on Derrimus Street, Madam Speaker, is quite aesthetically pleasing. In fact, when you all have your Labour Party meeting, once you look to the left, you see the plaza. You look in front of you, you see Meadow Park. You look to the right, you see the junction. And if you turn back well enough, you see the fish vending facility within that small area. I did it just for the Labour Party when they're having their meeting to feel an environment of greater comfort. Madam Speaker, you know, there's another one on Darling Road, Madam Speaker. And today, Madam Speaker, we see visitors, tourists sitting in a relaxing ambience in that new environment. I guess the Labour Party, like I said, will patronize when they have the meetings on their favorite market set. Beano Park looks good, and so does the fish vending facility. Most roads, Madam Speaker, in the city were recently paved, and I remember this gentleman approaching me in church on a Sunday, and he approached me about the VG Road, Madam Speaker, and I delivered very, very quickly. At the top of Nepanthe, a new concrete road was built. A dirt road existed there before, and today residents drive on concrete, and that is opposite the road leading to Johnson Lucy's house. As we speak, Madam Speaker, a human resource development set, thanks to you, Mr. Prime Minister, is being built in Wapatak. When construction started, Madam Speaker, that same man who spoke of the gardens claimed that I had removed the roof of the choir building because he met with some people there. Ignorance, Madam Speaker, ignorance. Through castries, Madam Speaker, we have caused...
Honourable Member, I just want to make an announcement here. I think we're getting away with too many unparliamentary words.
Like a poodle.
Like a poodle.
Okay.
Like non-entity and gogo and massa. Let us stop these words. I need no addition. Let us stop these words when we refer to each other members of the public. Can we do that?
Madam Speaker, I will be so guided. I will be so guided, Madam Speaker. But it leads me to believe Madam Speaker did not was either not in the show, did not hear when the member for Beaufort South referred to my colleague as a poodle.
I'm admitting here that I should have stopped it then. But it is getting a little too many. It is getting a little too many under the mic and over the mic. All the gurgles going across the table, that is out of it. So let's stop it now. Stop it right now. And that is for every member, whether you say it under the mic or in through the mic. Can we all agree?
Madam Speaker, I shall be guided. And rest assured that I shall not offend again in that regard.
Thank you. And I say the same for every member.
Yes.
I hope those who have said it will be honorable enough to say, I withdraw the public.
Are you asking somebody to withdraw an alias or very?
I am hoping that it will happen before the end of this budget debate. Thank you.
Very well, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, through our gas streams, we have caused wheelchair accessing from the road to the sidewalk and vice versa. In addition, we have engaged in the rendering of assistance as and when we can. We assist in situations of depression and others, Madam Speaker, that ought to be checked. I am extremely concerned about the elderly, Madam Speaker, and so I do whatever I can for them. Madam Speaker, I promise to deliver in Castries Central, and I believe that I am on the right track. Madam Speaker, let me just say, God bless the Taiwanese. Madam Speaker, thank God, today, when you have global crisis, when you have the tightening of available money, that the St. Lucians were wise enough to elect an administration who have the right international friends and who can manage properly. As Madam Speaker, if the Labour Party was in office at this time, this crucial time, St. Lucia would have been sold. If they could not manage during good times, when things are difficult, how would they have managed? Madam Speaker, the government moves to Taiwan could have never ever been better for St. Lucia. The Taiwanese money, Madam Speaker, would reach the poorest of the poor and would directly affect the standard of living. Madam Speaker, I wrote this short thing for Mr. Chu. I hear at some point you have to go. Regret to the last, I am sure you know. But beyond the skies or out of the blue, please send St. Lucia another Mr. Chu. Madam Speaker, I want to take the opportunity to exhort the persons who could have benefited from the Taiwanese funds not to vote for the people who refuse to take the money because the people are refusing to assist them in getting out of the state of poverty. You know, when you tell me, Madam Speaker, you have people in the Mangin Viewport defecating in plastic bags.
Honourable Member, are you campaigning? Where is copy?
Madam Speaker.
I need no assistance.
Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member, let's make it part of the budget.
Okay, very well, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, in conclusion, Madam Speaker, but Madam Speaker, the people on the ground, Madam Speaker, it has to be, Madam Speaker, is directly affiliated to the budget because we are able to execute many capital projects without a burden on taxpayers, Madam Speaker.
Understanding that, Minister, Honourable Member, but when you ask people not to vote on who we vote,
I'm responsible. Madam Speaker, they gave us endless leaks about Taiwanese.
I would rather stick to 2010.
Okay.
Right.
2010. God Kadi is up there, Chalma. But it's okay. But the people on the ground, Madam Speaker, the people on the ground who directly feel the impact of our decision to have gone with the Taiwanese government, they'll be the ones to judge whether the decision was right or wrong. And I believe some parliamentarians will be fired next election. But Madam Speaker, let me just say quickly in conclusion, I want to thank persons who gave support to me, because when you're in politics, Madam Speaker, there are times when you feel down. There are times, Madam Speaker, when you just feel like giving up. There are times when you just figure the road is too rocky. Let me lay down that burden. And you know, Madam Speaker, there are persons, I don't want to go through the entire list, but let me just say, everyone in Cartier Central, everybody, Sweet Juice, Camilla, Skinny, Beverly, Angel, Greg, Joy, Slim, Johnson, Blue, a whole load of them, Madam Speaker. And my family, of course, my family, Polina, Ovin, and my five-year-old daughter, those are the people. When you feel, Madam Speaker, you feel like giving up. You feel like giving up, Madam Speaker. They pull you back and say, look, Pweche, Charmaine, Cherry, Mai, Tito, James, Tucker, Rove, Rime, Dexter, Mice, Mapol, Bridget Semkwa, all the Semkwas, CDC residents, JJ Kendall, Valenskin, Michelle Gomes' daughter. I must say a special thank you to her, Madam Speaker. And, all the guys in the different areas, all the guys, the New Village guys, Leslie guys, Stoneway guys, Baccara, Mondador, Wilson's Yard, Conway, Floopsy, Gratchit, Black Stars, Foligra, Lakudu, Roseville, Georgeville. I will be here, Madam Speaker, until the people fire me. But guess what? They'll not fire me for a fee. That's the only thing. I think they will keep me here until they get better quality representation. You understand? So, Madam Speaker, I want to end on a very humorous note. On a humorous note, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I was speaking to an old man. He called me, he said to me, Richard, I said, Saudi. He said, Odu Obaga, Otrok Pakamute Omon, Lokadi Leba. Oh, Madame Gobu, then you don't penetrate a couche, don't go a mene a leba. Oh, Muntu Avaibau, I'm ending on a humorous note. Oh, Muntu Avaibau, Ipapu Papi, Unpa di Patmade Leba. Oh, Muntu Omun, Yokaway Lahol, we've had Leba. I said, Body, Richard Takipabo, say Leba. Madam Speaker, thank you.